Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you. We thank you for your leading. You've led us thus far, and Father, we ask that you show us more. We desire to hear more from you, the treasures of your word to be opened to our hearts in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, I come to a very sad topic, a very sad topic, because over the years I've witnessed this happen and have seen within the churches and outside of the churches what happens to backsliders. And we're going to look at that tonight because it is a very sad area. And the reason I say it's sad is because if a person comes to Christ, he's the one that offers blessing, offers forgiveness, offers all the benefits of salvation. And the benefits of salvation are great and far exceed what the world can offer. So let's have a look at this area, what happens to backsliders. Let's look first of all at Proverbs 14, verse 14. And we'll ask a question that comes out of this verse as we look at it in Proverbs 14, verse 14. Proverbs 14, verse 14 says, "The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself." So the question arises, where does backsliding start? Where does backsliding start? And also, what do we mean by backsliding? Well, we can define what we don't mean by backsliding. A person who is in the will of God and doing the word of God and walking by faith and obeying the truth would not be a person that's backslidden from God. Can you see what I'm saying? So a backslider in heart is where it starts, in the heart. So you can actually have people in churches and they start to do things like not believe what is spoken in the services and in the sermons. They start to make decisions not to believe and not to take hold of the word and not to go forward with the word. So it's not like, oh, suddenly that person is a backslider and no longer fellowships and no longer does the things of God. No, it starts in the heart. It's a great warning. It starts in the heart because in the heart is where our thinking is where we make spiritual decisions. In the heart is where we say yes to God or no to God. And so it's a big warning for us as believers that we must also be, as the Bible says, sober and vigilant. Because who is it that comes and brings thoughts to us, and not just to us, but of course to those who are outside of the body of Christ? Who is it that comes along and brings thoughts, for example, of doubt and unbelief? It's not God, is it? It must come from the enemy. And what's the enemy trying to do? He's trying to, yes, steal, kill and destroy. He's trying to get you off the path. He's trying to bring you into his will, which is not blessing, but the curse. So it's important for us to see that God's will for us is for us to be blessed with faithful Abraham, to increase, to go forward in the faith, to grow. All of this is part of the vibrant Christian life, is part of the one who wants to go forward in God, run the race, so to speak, fight the good fight of faith. So notice what it says about the backslider in heart. Starts in the heart, and that can be even people sitting in a church. And in that church, they can be preaching wonderful and clear and godly sermons. And that person can make a decision, I refuse to believe, or I will not believe, or not mix the hearing with faith. Can you see what I'm saying? Or say, well, I don't want to give God that area. It's a dangerous thing. Dangerous thing. So the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. His own ways. So what do we find the backslider in heart gets filled with? Not with the will of God, which is what Colossians 1 says we should be filled with. Not with filled with the knowledge of God's wisdom and God's truth, but filled with what? The backslider in heart is filled with his own ways. His own ways. The backslider in heart is filled with his own ways, not God's ways. And notice it says, and a good man, and obviously by a good man we mean the righteous man who is following after the Lord, shall be satisfied from within himself. Why from within himself? Because out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Okay? Out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. And that means that if they've filled themselves with the right things, what's going to come out of their heart? We're told to be filled with the knowledge of God's will. We should be filled with God's word. We should be filled with the Spirit of God. But we see the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, but a good man shall be satisfied from himself. So there has to be within the heart, and the Bible is very clear that we should guard the heart. We should attend to God's words, and those type of things, for example, fellowshipping, keeping yourself under the hearing of the word, and making a decision, by the way, that you're going to mix faith with the hearing, and you will listen and hear and attend to God's words. Make that decision. That type of person is going to have a defense against backsliding. However, as I said before, there are many even in churches who have made decisions in their heart, well, I'm not going to give God that. They might not say it in those words, but basically that's the decision they make. Or God can have this far, but he's not having that, and so on. And they start to be filled with their own ways. And what happens then is they start to become very critical and very judgmental of even the godly things, and they start to see all types of flaws. Rather than being a blessing, they start to look to their own ways and start to believe the words of the world. And the words of the world, of course, are not God's words. Have a look at Proverbs 13, verse 13. Just go back one chapter there. Proverbs 13, verse 13. Because what are they doing? What starts to happen if you ignore the word of God, or if you actively say, well, I'm not going to obey the word? What starts to happen? And what is the attitude that starts to form in people's hearts? And I remember a few years ago now, I visited a man who rang up the church here, and he said, well, I've only got a few weeks to live, according to the doctor. Only got a few weeks to live. And I went there, and the Lord prompted me to talk to him about where he was spiritually. I found out that he had been fellowshipping up to a certain period of time, and then he stopped fellowshipping. And there he was. He had packets of cigarettes and so on. And you could see that he'd basically given up on even healing, even though he'd been going along to what is traditionally known as a Pentecostal church. But he had absolutely no idea about healing, no knowledge of it. And even though I spoke to him about it, it was like speaking to a brick wall. So something had happened to that man way before I arrived on the scene. Way before I arrived on the scene. Something had happened to him, and eventually it brought him right out of fellowshipping, and right into this inability to even hear what a genuine minister had to say to him. You know, this is the type of thing that happens when a person goes a particular way, and then God can even send a genuine minister along to speak to them, but they become what is called dull of hearing, and their heart, the Bible says, is gross. In other words, there's dirtiness in their spiritual filth. But notice what it says in verse 13 here of Proverbs 13. It says, whoso despiseth the word, shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. So despising the word, and let me define what that means. Despising the word is actively making a decision and constantly making that decision to go against the word of God, even though there might be many warnings, even though the Lord might be trying to get or might be speaking to that person and constantly saying things to that person, they still despise the word. Now, does that bring a person more into blessing, or is something else going to happen here? What does the word of God say here? Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed. So what happens to backsliders is as they go out of the will of God, as they go out of obeying the truth of God, destruction starts to come into their life. All types of access of the devil through sin comes into their life, and of course the curse becomes a part of their life rather than blessing. And I'm sure we all are aware of people who may have fellowshipped for some time in churches, they may have even genuinely given their life to Christ, but then they've effectively turned their back on fellowship, turned their back on the Lord, and made some sort of justification why they're not going to church and why they think they can be a Christian and not go to church. Now, it's important for us to realise that they didn't overnight become lukewarm or overnight become rebellious to God. Various things have happened and they chose to believe or take hold of that, and eventually the devil was able to lead them out of the will of God. You see, I believe the scriptures make it very clear that the church is very important in Christ's eyes. Very, very important. We'll look at a couple of scriptures of that a bit later. Let's have a look at Galatians 3, verse 1. Galatians 3, verse 1. Because we want to learn more about just what happens to those who backslide. What is happening in their lives and what eventually happens to them? Well, we said that whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed. So destruction comes in. And I'm sure you can point to people who have left the Lord and it hasn't been blessing for them. In fact, all types of destruction has come into their life. Now, Galatians 3 verse 1, notice what Paul says or calls the Galatians. And so it's very important for us to see that this is the type of heart attitude that they get to. He says, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you?" So what's he saying there? He's calling them foolish Galatians. In other words, if a person does not obey the truth, they go into the realm of foolishness. And of course, they start to be filled with their own ways, because if you're not obeying the truth, what are you obeying? Error, something that's not the truth. Okay? So it's important that you don't just not obey anything, you're being disobedient and you're doing something else. You see what I'm saying here? Like if I said, well, I'm not going to fellowship anymore in any church, well, that doesn't mean I do nothing, does it? It means that I'm doing something else instead of fellowshipping and listening to the word of God. So it's very important for us to see that something has happened to these Galatians. And he says, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you?" Well, does God bewitch people? Well, clearly not. You know, the Bible is very clear. It says that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. So God has no part in rebellion. It must be something else or someone else. Okay? Who's behind the bewitching? In fact, Paul says, "Who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth?" So he's asking this question. Something's bewitched you. Something has grabbed hold of your thinking. Something has caused you to think the wrong way. And the bewitching type of area points back to rebellion, points back to not obeying but being disobedient. And so that, of course, is the way of the world, isn't it? The way of the world is disobedience to the Lord. And so it's important for us to understand that something happened to the Galatians, something happened to them so they became fools. And the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. That doesn't just apply to atheists, by the way. That applies to people who say, well, there's no God in this area, sort of thing. They might not say that, but their actions reflect that. I don't believe, they're always saying, God, I don't believe that God is seeing what I'm doing here. I can do what I like here and there's no consequences. There are consequences, because when you start to go away from the Lord, what are you doing? You're sowing into the wrong things, aren't you? Your actions become seeds that are sowing, and you get a harvest out of that. Now, of course, on the positive side, obedience is sowing the right things into the Lord. It's sowing the right things into the kingdom of God and so on. So obedience will bring also a harvest as well, and we would expect that to be a harvest of blessing. Now, of course, the way they're treating the Lord Jesus Christ is not good. He says in verse 1, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. So they've crucified they've crucified Christ again, so to speak. In other words, they're not putting Christ in his right place in their lives at all. Let's have a look, for example, at Genesis 26, verse 5. We'll see a man who was very obedient to the Lord, and the Lord did great things for him. As I said, the actions you do now, for example, the actions of diligence, the actions of loyalty, the actions of fellowship, the actions of giving, and so on, these are things that you're sowing, and you're sowing into the kingdom of God, and what happens then? You'll get a blessing. Did we observe blessing in Abraham's life? Look at Genesis 26, verse 5. Genesis 26, verse 5. And I just want you to see about Abraham the type of man that he was. Well, look at verse 4 and 5. Verse 4 says, and I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Notice there's a colon there, which means, look what follows, be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Is there a link between blessing and obedience? Yes, there certainly is. There is certainly a link between obeying the Lord, as we read in the book of Galatians, obeying the truth, and blessing. Now, we know that those who despise the word, despise God's commandments, what happens? They get into destruction. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed. But here we see with Abraham, because he obeyed God's voice and kept his charge and his commandments and statutes and laws, there was blessing that was coming into his life. Great blessing. And we could go on and on about how Abraham, the Bible says Abraham was blessed in all things. All things. In today's society, he would be a multi-billionaire. And there's no doubt about that. He was blessed in all things. Go back to Galatians 5, verse 7. Galatians 5, verse 7. You see, what happens to backsliders is they get filled with their own ways and they start to become disobedient to the things of God. Rather than bowing the knee to the Lord, rather than bowing the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ and saying, you are my master, I will do what you want. You know, there have been people who have been called to this church, but they've been disobedient and they've left. And now, who knows where they are? In fact, we know some people have even died young, because they've gone right out of the will of God and exposed themselves to the curse. It's a sad thing, and that's why I say this is a very sad area, something that's quite sad, because If you know where you've been placed in the body of Christ, that's where you should be. That's where the blessing is. You know, some people obviously have been placed in other churches. But we know that there are people that should be and will be and are placed in this church. Praise the Lord. And that's no coincidence. God wants you here. He's placed you here. The Bible says planted in the house of the Lord. So that means that's where you get your nutrients. That's where you get built up. That's where you get strengthened. That's where you get blessed. So if you want to continue in that blessing, you don't sit and rebel against what, for example, the ministers are saying. What do? You say, I want to hear the word. I want to grow in faith, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we're looking again at Galatians 5, verse 7. Galatians 5, verse 7. It says, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? So once again, we ask the question, is God the hinderer? He's not, is he? Was God the one that bewitched the Galatians? Not at all. Because bewitching, witchcraft, and so on, is connected to rebellion. So God wasn't the one that bewitched them. God wasn't the one that hindered them. In fact, that's in verse 8, if you look at that, it says, this persuasion, the persuasion not to obey the truth, so they had to become persuaded, didn't they? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. So the Lord Jesus Christ has been calling people, and what happened is that they allowed themselves to be hindered from the truth. And this is an important thing to see, that people can make a decision to either, I will not be hindered, say, I will not be hindered, I will not listen to that voice, or I will hear what that voice is saying. So they're not listening to the voice of God, they start to listen to something else, and that hindrance causes them to be in a place, not a blessing, but of destruction. So here Paul is saying, ye did run well. Well, obviously, if you're running well, you're going forward in blessing, aren't you? You're going forward in growth. You're going forward in the Lord. You're not going backwards. But if you're hindered, what happens if you're running? You get stopped. You get stopped in the blessing. You get stopped in going forward in God. Important for us to see this. So the attitude that we're to have is, I want to go God's way, even if the word might be a bit difficult. But what's the decision that you make? I decide to obey the word. I decide to hear the word. I mix faith with the word of God. I trust what God has said. I trust the Lord. In the name of Jesus, I'm going forward. Praise the Lord. So that's the way we should be. Have a look at Hebrews 10, 23 to 25. Hebrews 10, 23 to 25. You know, a man came here recently and he'd been many years out of fellowship. I questioned him fairly extensively, actually, about a few things. And he said, I've got a ministry. I thought, you've got a ministry and you don't go to any church? This is what I was thinking. And so I said to him, well, if you've got a ministry, what happens if someone gets born again under your ministry? Where are you going to send that young Christian to be nurtured? And he was stumped at that. He couldn't say anything to that. I believe that was a question the Holy Ghost prompted me to ask that man, because he needed to have that jarring in his thinking so that he might start to think properly. So Hebrews 10, let's start from verse 23. We'll go to verse 25. Hebrews 10, 23 to 25. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Okay, so verse 23 tells us what we should be doing. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Now, holding fast is an action term. We have to hold on. We've got to hold on, hold fast onto something, don't we? The profession, well, the word profession is the way of your life, okay? What you're professing to do and to say. So let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. What does he say, without wavering? Who would be wanting to get us off track, do you think? Who would be wanting us to get us away from our faith? Well, it's certainly not the Lord, is it? It's not the Lord that wants to get us away from our faith. The Lord wants us to run the race diligently. The Lord wants us to go forward. The Lord wants us, as he says here, to hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. In other words, you keep to him faithful, and he is also faithful to you, praise the Lord. And notice what verse 24 says, and this is something that a backslider, particularly one who has gone out of fellowship, cannot do. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Do you know that I can't provoke you or you or you or you to good works and to love unless I have access to you? Do you understand that? It's not possible for the ministry to speak into your life, for example, unless they have access to your life, and unless you say, well, I want to hear the word of God. So notice that we should be considering one another. So what happens with backsliders? What happens with them? Are they considering the body of Christ? Are they considering the brothers and sisters that they profess to be Christians? So they should be saying, well, I've got brothers and sisters. Where is your brother and sister? You should be asking them. Where is your brother or sister? Oh, they're in all the churches round about. Well, you can't obey this scripture. You can't consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works if you have no access to their life or you have no relationship with them. Can you see what I mean? And notice what it says in the next verse there. The next verse is a key one. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. So there are people that do forsake the assembling of themselves together, as it says there, as the manner of some is. Even back in Paul's day, there were people that were forsaking the assembling of themselves together, right out of the will of God. Because notice what he says in the next part of that verse. He says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So how can you exhort one another unless you are assembling yourself together with those in the body of Christ? It's important for us to see that those who start backsliding, and obviously backsliding can take people right out of the will of God and right out of the body of Christ, and eventually they can even be spewed out, as Jesus says in the book of Revelation, because they become so lukewarm that he's not going to put up with that anymore. So what we see here is that that they have made decisions in their life, made sort of justifications, but it's not God that has spoken to them. It's something else. It's the hinderer. It's someone that's bewitched them. Someone has, and I speak particularly about the devil and his minions, have put ideas into their hearts and minds which are the opposite of the word of God, opposite of the truth. So they've been persuaded, not by God, to disobey the truth, but by something or someone else. So here we say that, that there is an important principle for us to see, that if we assemble ourselves together, then we can exhort one another. Then we can so much the more as you see the day of Christ's return approaching. You know, and I think we're closer to that than ever. And so much the more we should be exhorting one another. So much the more we should be provoking unto love and to good works. And especially considering one another. Not have a selfish way of thinking. And of course, backsliders are filled with their own ways. And that becomes a very selfish way of thinking and acting. Can you see what I'm saying? Oh, I want to do my own thing. And that's a very self. It's not considering your brothers and sisters. It's not considering the body of Christ. It's not considering the church. It's not considering the house of God. And that's why that type of attitude is not going to lead you into blessing. That type of backsliding can only lead you into a place where you're despising the word of God, and ultimately it leads to destruction. A very, very sad thing. So how should we be? Look at Psalm 119, start from verse 125. Psalm 119, verse 125 to 130. You see, if we understand that God has placed us in the body of Christ, not we ourselves, but the Lord Jesus Christ is the head of the body and we're members of the body, then we'll know that we have a part to do in the body. If you read 1 Corinthians 12, where it describes the various members in the body of Christ and that the Lord Jesus Christ is the head, we won't read that tonight, we don't have time. But if you read that, you'll see that you can't operate outside of the body of Christ and claim to be doing the will of God. Can you see what I'm saying? You can't say, well, I'm going to be an eye, but I'm going to go and do my own thing over there. No, everything has to be functioning together. This is why, and we've been talking about it, there has to be a real cleansing of the sanctuary or the church, because it has to get a lot of the filth out of churches and people's thinking and so on. So if people really are born again, then what should their desire be but to the Lord and his ways and what he wants? Isn't that right? So look at Psalm 119. We'll look at verses 125 to verse 130. 125 says, I am thy servant. Give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies. Can you say that of the Lord? Can you say, I am thy servant? You should be able to, because the Bible says we've been made the servants of righteousness. And we serve Christ. So you should be able to say, I am thy servant, give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies. You know, you might come to a difficult place in your Christian walk. You might think, well, things aren't going right. What should you say? You should say, look, I'm your servant, Lord. Give me understanding about this that I may know thy testimonies. Verse 126, it is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. You know, as I said before, it's a sad thing. You can look around you and you can see people who are making void the law of God, doing all types of things and saying all types of wrong things. In our society, we see even people making laws against the word of God and so on. And we also see people agreeing that even people calling themselves Christians are starting to agree with that type of thing. There has to be a real return to the word of God as the final authority, the word of God as the final arbitrator in people's lives. And we haven't seen that in a great extent yet, but that is coming, praise the Lord. Verse 227 says, therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. So where do you place your love? Obviously, you love God's commandments, his word, above any material thing, because one of the greatest, most precious things, of course, is gold as a material thing on the earth. But we love God's commandments above all of that material wealth and so on. Doesn't mean you can't have wealth. It means that you place your love in the right place. You know, there are people, and we could read it, we don't have time tonight, but you could read it, where they allow the things of the world to come in and they have weeds within their heart, and their love gets steered away from the word of God. And in fact, those weeds, those thistles, those thorns, they choke the word in them. Now, that's something you don't want to happen. What you want is the word be planted in your heart and produce good things. Isn't that right? But it's got to be a good ground heart. And a good ground heart is not full of rocks. It's not full of thorns. A good ground heart is a heart that is full of the word of God and is ploughed up and ready to receive the word of God. Okay? Very important to understand that. Verse 127 says, therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Do backsliders love God's commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold? Well, clearly not. If they're filled with their own ways, they're loving something else, aren't they? They're not loving God's commandments, because if they did, they wouldn't be forsaking the assembling of themselves together, or rejecting God's word, or despising his word, whether in actions or words. You know, we've known even people who have been fellowshipping quite a long time in churches, and you know, a few years down the track, you find they're atheists. I mean, this is ridiculous, isn't it? That such people could ever go from that type of place to that type of place. No. If you're truly born again and you want to go forward in the Lord, you're going to be doing the right thing. And if those people were born again, they're in a very, very sad position. Because emphatically, if they deny Christ, they cannot come to repentance. Verse 128 says, therefore, and this is the hard attitude we must have concerning God's ways and his words, therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. So this person who esteems all God's precepts concerning all things to be right, he can't be going his own way, can he? He has to hate every false way. So if a false word came to him and says, well, you know, that person did that to you or said that to you, you should be offended at that and you should leave and turn your back. No. In fact, the Bible says to love your enemies. You're not to hold grudges. You're not to be a person that doesn't love. You're to be a person who loves by faith, who forgives by faith, and so on, and goes forward in the Lord. So you're to esteem all God's precepts concerning some things, all things, to be right. And I hate, this is where there's a good hatred, I hate every false way. You know, there's a good hatred. You should be able to say, well, I hate every false way. That's a good hatred. Well, we're coming to the end part. Let's have a look at Matthew 24, verses 12 and 13. You know, as we see in this Philadelphian period of church history, we see many, many problems in the modernist churches. We see that the world has come in, and with that, we see the love that people may have had starts to grow cold, and eventually, if you grow cold, you get to a stage where you're walking in your own ways, not God's ways. And I believe that there's even whole churches, so-called, that have turned their backs on the Word of God and have gone right away from the Lord. Now, we're looking at Matthew 24, verses 12 and 13. Matthew 24, verses 12 and 13. There's a lot more we could say about this whole area. I just want to go through two more scriptures, this one and another one. Matthew 24, verses 12 and 13 says, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. The love of many shall wax cold. If we were to look right through Geelong now, there would be many people who would be saying, well, I used to go to church, but no longer do. Or I believe I can be a Christian and not go to church. You know, that's the love of many waxing cold. That's one example of that. But as I said before, there can be people sitting in churches and their love also waxing cold because they're making decisions within them. I despise the word or that word there. I'm not going to listen. But verse 13 is a wonderful thing. It says, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Praise the Lord. We should be people of endurance. We should go forward, even if there is iniquity all abounding around us. We should say, no, my way is to be a witness for the Lord in the earth today. Praise the Lord. I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. And God's kingdom is not of the world. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. So we know that we can live by kingdom principles, the kingdom way, so we're not filled with our own ways, are we? But we go his way constantly That's the way you grow. That's the way you get a harvest, a blessing in your life. Praise the Lord. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, those things of blessing can be added unto you, but you've got to do the right thing. You've got to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You've got to endure unto the end. You can't say, well, that person did this and that. No, you've got to always look unto Christ. He's the author and finisher of your faith, okay? He's the one that you constantly got to keep your eyes on, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's finish with Hebrews 5, verse 11. Hebrews 5, verse 11. And I want you to keep in mind that the backsliding process, it's not something that people can't be healed of. The Bible talks about, I will heal your backslidings. But they've got to be truly sorry that they've turned their backs on the Lord. They've got to be truly sorry and say, well, I want to go God's ways and repent. Now, of course, there can be people that just, as we said before, can go so cold that eventually they're spewed out of the body of Christ. Hebrews 5, and we're looking Hebrews 5, verse 11 here. It says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Now, there are people that are dull of hearing. Now, that's a very dangerous place to be. And I pray you're not in that category, because if you can't hear, then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. If you can't hear, how can you grow in faith? If you're dull of hearing, how can you hear God's voice? How can you hear his leading? You can't, can you? And so those that backslide, turn their backs on the Lord, they start to not be able to hear the Lord, and thereby they start to hear other things. Not that they don't hear things. They are dull of hearing the Lord, dull of hearing his word. Very dangerous position to be in. Let's pray. Father, we praise you and thank you, Lord, and we ask that you keep us and keep us hot for you, Lord. I pray, Father, that there be a stirring up in our hearts to be more and more zealous for you, that we might go forward in you in the name of Jesus, that there be within us a great desire to do your will, a great desire to hear your voice, a great desire to hear your word and to obey the truth. A great desire, Lord. And Father, we ask that you show us if there be any hindrances, that we can deal with those in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise God. Amen.